I will call the Joint Committee on Implementing Measure 91 to order. We have posted tonight a work session on Senate Bill 844, and we have three amendments at least that we will be considering, the dash 19, 23, and 24 amendments. So perhaps we could just ask Adam to kind of summarize where we are. We have our legislative counsel, Mark Mayer, available to describe the amendments in more detail, but I think perhaps just the status report of where we stand tonight would be in order. So, Adam.
Madam Co-Chair, members of the committee, the bill before you, Senate Bill 844, as of now, has the dash 6 and the dash 7 amendments incorporated within it. There is a revenue statement issued and a fiscal statement issued for both the dash 6s and 7s. As the co-chairs mentioned, the 19s, 23s, and 24s all have their paperwork. At this point, the 19s, 23s, and 24s have an indeterminate revenue impact statement, and they all have fiscal impact statements.
Okay. Why don't we start out with the dash 23 amendment? So, Mark, could you come to the table and describe that amendment? No. Do we need a motion?
We need to have a motion to that. Okay. Madam Co-Chair, I move we adopt the dash 23 amendments.
Co-Chair Leininger has moved that we adopt this the dash 23 amendments dated May 8th, 2015. In the order of discussion, I think we'll start out with Mr. Mayer, and then we can pursue it after he goes over the content of the amendment. Welcome.
Chairs Leininger, Burdick, members of the committee, my name is Mark Mayer, Deputy Legislative Counsel. I'm here to discuss these three amendments and any of the other amendments that we've drafted in the last 48 work hours, if you guys would like to know those as well. The Dash 23 amendments are substantially similar to the Dash 19 amendments, as well as to the Dash 20 amendments, or excuse me, the Dash 24 amendments, except we have three differences between them, and so I'm going to concentrate on the differences between these amendments, and you can ask me about the common parts if you want to ask me specific questions about those. The first difference between the dash 23s is between the dash 23s and the 19s is on page 2, lines 22 to 25. This language would push back the applicability of the plant limits for existing grow sites until December 31st, 2016. And what that effectively means is that there would be two grow season cycles before existing marijuana grow sites would be subject to the plant limits that are written into the Dash 6 amendments to Senate Bill 844. That's the first difference. The second difference is on information in the database and how it is shared with law enforcement and with cities and counties. This language is primarily on page 3, lines 12 through 21 and lines 22 through 27. There have been a lot of different variations of this language. This language would allow the sharing of information with law enforcement or city and counties, except in those instances in which the city or county has opted out of allowing a dispensary or processing site to be located in the city or county. So effectively, I think that that would prohibit sharing of information related to grandfathered sites. Otherwise, I think the idea there is that there shouldn't be information sharing, and probably the requester could speak a little bit more to the policy choice behind that. But that's the legal structure of that section. And then finally, the opt-out section is probably the most significant difference, and I'll discuss that last. The local option in the Dash 23s is different than the Dash 24s in that underneath the Dash 23s, the governing body of a city or county can go ahead and adopt an ordinance prohibiting the establishment of a dispensary or marijuana processing site. But then they must refer that to the people for their approval, for the next statewide general election. So basically, they can adopt the ordinance, and then at that point, they have to refer it to the people. The ordinance does not take effect until approval of the people at the next statewide general election. This is pretty standard boilerplate language for that type of provision. Subsection 3, page 5, lines 24 to 29, requires the Oregon Health Authority to suspend registering these sites between the day of the of adopting the ordinance and the date on which the election takes place, so that there would be no activity until they would know the actual outcome of the election. The grandfather clauses for this local option, if you look at page 6 through 7, the grandfather clauses specifically for when a city or county refers this to the people, it would apply to, it would not apply to, these ordinances would not apply to a dispensary if it is registered before the date on which the governing body adopts the ordinance and is a land use applicant whose land use application is deemed complete by our city or county. So not the date of the election, but the date on which the ordinance is adopted. That is the date on which the grandfathering takes place. And then we have grandfather language in section 67D and 67E of this amendment, which is grandfathering in dispensaries, existing dispensaries, instead of in those future instances where counties or cities may be adopting future ordinances. That grandfather language is consistent throughout all the drafts. Those are the dash 23s.
Okay. Chair Leininger, you were the mastermind of these amendments. Would you like to elaborate?
Well, I would love to, and I think perhaps a couple of my colleagues would like to as well. I think the important thing to recognize is, you know, we're in the middle of a fundamental culture change in how we deal with marijuana in Oregon and around the country. And in 1998, voters decided to legalize medical marijuana, and very recently, in November 2014, voters decided essentially to decriminalize marijuana use in the adult use recreational market. And some jurisdictions are not comfortable with this big cultural change, and I think that that's been true of big cultural changes we've had in other arenas. You know, marriage equality is one that comes to mind, a lot of different things. But the question that we've been struggling with is how to help communities that feel like they're not quite culturally ready for this transition to ease into a new situation. We're moving away from the war on drugs in this state and around the country, and we're moving toward an approach where we regulate instead. So in the dash 23s, and in a lot of the work that I think is non-controversial in Senate Bill 844, we've been working to give more regulatory tools to local governments so that they can regulate the time and the place and the manner and the tracking of legal marijuana. And I think that makes more sense than enabling a local government unilaterally to opt out of participating in something that the voters have essentially said the voters want to have be legal, and that is access to medical marijuana, access to marijuana in general. The initiative process that people used to enact Measure 91 and in the measure in 1998, you know, that's really an important thing. And unless there's an overwhelming public policy reason, I think that we shouldn't contravene the will of the voters. And I think that this, the key issue here of should local city councils and county commissions be able to opt out of giving people access to medical marijuana through dispensaries and processing sites, it really implicates the decision voters have just made. And we know, I've heard conversations among people who say that, you know, once it happens in the medical marijuana front, we'll certainly transpose it over to the Measure 91 front. And I think that would open the door to people having really lost some of the rights they just tried to win when they successfully undertook the ballot measure to legalize under Measure 91. I think that we could end up, if local governments can unilaterally opt out without having the people in that community have to say, yes, that's what we want to do first, we could end up in a situation where very few cities in Oregon actually offer access to dispensaries and license processing sites. And I think that that'd be bad on a bunch of fronts because it will hurt patients' access to medicine they need. I think that it will encourage the black market to continue rather than decreasing it, which is an overall goal that I think we all share. And I think it really opens the door for local opt-outs and all kinds of controversial ballot measures and state laws that not everybody likes, because we're a diverse state of people, and I think there are plenty of laws that not everybody supports and likes, but when they're statewide, they apply to all of us. I think that the best approach for us right now would really be to recognize we've got a ton of great work in Senate Bill 844. That is non-controversial, that is really positive, that applies regulatory safeguards, enhanced tracking, enhanced tools for managing marijuana. Set that all aside while we try to think through this final issue of how we're going to deal with opting out in a way that everyone could live with and move forward with the Measure 91 work. I don't want to see us get to an impasse. I don't want to see this committee stop operating together, but I do think we're in a place where reasonable people have sincere differences of opinion. And in my mind, the Dash 23 amendment set forth a path that makes sense, that honors the will of the voters, and that keeps patients safe with access to medicine while letting local governments regulate in a way that's fair and reasonable. Thanks.
Thank you. Further discussion? Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. In trying to approach this issue from the start, and I think many of us share the view, with the medical program, the approach has been to focus on the impact of the patients on any changes. Like many of you on this committee, I've been involved in working on the medical program now for a decade. With that focus of what does it mean to serve the patients, the people of the state of Oregon who legally access medical marijuana and have it benefit their physical conditions and make their lives better. So that's the priority of how I've approached this work, and I believe many of us have. I think we all have a challenge in front of us on dealing with bringing an unregulated market into regulation and how that gets done. And we also have the concerns, legitimate concerns of communities as this issue evolves. And that, in the Dash 23s, that's what we attempted to address. And all five House members met to try to talk through what that balance might be. And my concern with what's happened with the committee overall and the kind of the tone of the work is somehow we've shifted back to a kind of war on drug mentality rather than how are we moving forward on the issue of marijuana. I think, again, with the Dash 23, and I've stated this in committee very clearly, I have a huge amount of heartburn over the idea that medicine in the state of Oregon would be voted out of the community, access to medicine. I'm placated somewhat by the fact that we do have dispensaries in many parts of the state now. We also will have people who will be legally growing recreational marijuana in their communities, and so hopefully maybe access from one person to another that's legal under Measure 91 will help patients. But I have huge concerns about simply saying let's open the door and let's stop the forward movement in professionalizing the medical marijuana program statewide. Let's stop that movement. Let's stop giving safe access to patients. Let's determine some patients can have safe access, but other patients can't have safe access. To me, that's an incredibly difficult issue. And I believe that the provision that we've offered in the Dash 23s is a compromise. It says to the local government officials, if you sincerely believe that in your community that your people do not want this, then you simply have to pass that resolution that says they were saying this to the ballot and the processing of lights is a stop. It seems to me a very legitimate compromise to offer to try to address those concerns. In regard to the efforts on the black market, we have to, I think that we're fooling ourselves if we think that we are going to solve the issues of the black market in a single piece of legislation. I just think that's just not going to happen. And I think that we have to be very conscious of the idea that what we do, believe it or not, colleagues, sometimes what we do have, it has unintended consequences. It's happened at least three times I can think of. And what we're trying to do is with the date that we've been discussing, and it's been frustrating for me because there really has not been allowed any discussion of what this date means. The date we're discussing in terms of ratcheting down the size of grows, and I strongly support ratcheting down the size of grows and making sure there is a reporting system and really making sure that neighborhoods are not negatively impacted, that people growing for the marijuana program have to be responsible growers. I strongly support that. I've supported that for years. But as we do this, all we're asking with the December 31st, 2016 date, which again is a compromise from the medical marijuana advocates asking for June 17th, all we're asking for is the opportunity to see what happens as we bring the recreational license for growing into play. How many growers are going to shift over from the medical side to the recreational side? We have no idea. We have no idea. What impact is that going to have on patients? We have no idea. Absolutely no idea. And yet we're going to insist as a committee that somehow we do know, and somehow we're going to plant this date and we're going to make it happen. And I do think that's the wrong course of action. I think there's a compromise proposed in -23 that says give it a year or so. Give it till December 31st, 2016. Let commercial licensure start. Let commercial growers grow. Let's see how many of the medical growers shift over. Let's see how patients are impacted by that shift of growers. Let's take care of the patients first and foremost. Let's make the patients our priority and the effort to bring the black market into regulation our second priority, because our responsibilities are first and foremost to the people of the state of Oregon, not to the federal government and their rules on marijuana. I could go on and on, Madam Chair, obviously. But I strongly support the -23. We worked, Representative Olson was great to work with on the idea of how data sharing might work under a provision. I think we've done a good job of compromising. I would encourage the committee to support the -23. If you cannot support the -23, I'd encourage, Co-Chair Langer said, that we table it and we put it aside and get to work on the Measure 91 bill that will incorporate much of the great work the committee has done thus far. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Further discussion, Representative Helm.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Co-Chairs, as the committee knows, and I like to remind you all, I'm a land use attorney and an appellate attorney. And when we first started the committee, we all had as a opening statement where we were coming from in terms of looking at Measure 91 and how we'd approach it. And I think almost all of us stated that we wanted to follow the will of the voters as it's set forth in Measure 91. And I continue to have that feeling, and I think the committee's done so much good work along those lines collaboratively, and I bet that all of us have gone back to our colleagues during this session and said something like I've said, which is this committee is the most bipartisan and the most coordinated and functional committee that I serve on. And it's really refreshing, and I really like that. And I'm really proud of the work that we've done so far. And I look at Senate Bill 844, and I see that we are 97% of the way there on a great bill. And we're hung up on this local option thing. And that's what discourages me about considering local options that do not acknowledge Measure 91's existing opt-out provisions, because the voters said what they wanted to happen right there. And if we're marching back from that, we're marching back from what they said they wanted. In addition, from a land use point of view, and I was talking to Mr. Mayor this afternoon about the -5 amendments that we considered to 844 a few weeks ago, and we were hoping to get back to them because they're unfinished. And one of the things that we were talking about is how the land use provisions for both medical marijuana and adult recreational use must be coordinated. The time, manner, place provisions must be the same. The opt-out provisions need to be the same. That's because it doesn't make any sense on the local level to ask cities and counties to do their time, manner, and place provisions one way for medical marijuana and another way for adult recreational use when, from a physical, practical business perspective, those two entities, those businesses are going to look and function exactly the same. So we're going to have a credibility problem as a legislature if we try to send these local governments down two different tracks. And that's why I think it's about as far as I can go to allow an opt-out provision that, like we see in the Dash 23s, that looks like what the voters adopted in Measure 91, because I don't feel I can march back from that. And I hope, like my colleagues, that since we have a bill that's 97% of the way there and we have land use work to do on both sides of this issue, both medical and adult recreational use, that somewhere within that work we may find a better formula for unlocking the key to the local option that we don't have on the table yet. And I could, you know, I could see that. It just needs a little more time.
Thank you. Further discussion? I'll just make a couple comments in response to Representative Buckley's comment about protecting the interests of the patients as we move forward. I think this is a discussion, whether it be a deadline issue or other policy steps we can take to protect patients. We can have that conversation in the Measure 91 discussion, more in the spirit of calibrating deadlines or having other measures to protect patients without going through a whole additional growing season with no regulation. But I'm very open to that discussion, as I've told Representative Buckley on many occasions, and I really mean it. So I will not be supporting this amendment, but I am very receptive to the intent behind it, and I just wanted you to know that. Senator Pazansky.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Regarding the Dash 23s, I am also supportive of it based on what some of our colleagues have said. I go back to last year during the session when Senate Bill 1531 was passed. That was an opportunity to allow communities to have a moratorium to get comfortable with having dispensaries in their locales. And that moratorium ended on the first day of May of this year. And at this point, I've heard that there's been some that have actually taken steps. I mean, some of the communities, even maybe before May 1, to start actually integrating in with reasonable time, place, and manner dispensaries. But I also find it hard that we would be willing to allow for a moratorium to continue without having a vote of the people. And so this is a scenario, this is the best option I know in the sense of the opt-outs that we have. There are three separate opt-outs that we have that will at some point go at least on over one of them, and I'll want to discuss another one just before we get there. But this is the one that seems to be the truest one to have some type of a reflection by the local officials before they actually would opt out, knowing that whatever decision they make, it would immediately be going forward to the next general election for their voters to make that determination as to whether they agreed with their local elected official or not, as compared to one of the other options that we have on opt-out is just a straight-out opt-out, and the other one is one that would allow for citizens to have the ability to do a initiative process on a reduced number of individual signatures that they would be required. But this seems to be the purest and one that I feel, based on the work that Representative Buckley and I did last year in entering into the agreement on 1531, that would be the truest means of allowing for the cities to have that ability to continue their moratorium, but also require their voters to say yay or nay.
Thank you. Further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Senator Beyer?
No.
Representative Buckley?
Aye.
Representative Helm?
Aye.
Senator Cruz?
No.
Representative Bolson?
No.
Co-Vice Chair Farioli?
No.
Co-Vice Chair Brzozowski?
Aye.
Vice Chair Wilson?
No.
Co-Chair Langer?
Aye.
Co-Chair Burdick?
No. The motion has failed. Our next order of business will be the Dash 19 amendments. Senator Farioli, do you have a motion?
I do, Madam Chair. I move we adopt the Dash 19 amendments dated May 7th, 2015.
Senator Farioli has moved that we adopt the Dash 19 amendments. And for discussion, we will begin with Mr. Mayor.
Chairs Burdick and Leininger, again, Mark Mayer, Legislative Council. There's only one real discrepancy between the Dash 19s and the Dash 23s other than what I had already discussed. And just to remind you, the Dash 23s do contain a delayed operative date or a delayed applicability date for the plant limits on existing grow sites, as well as the law enforcement provision. The Dash 19s do not have either of those provisions. They do have a slightly different restriction on information that is being shared with law enforcement. That is on page 3, lines 15 to 23. Most of you will recognize lines 16 to 18, that the authority may not enclose personally identifiable information related to patients or caregivers that is stored in the database developed and maintained underneath this section. That language has been pretty consistent throughout. The new language is in lines 19 through 23. They also may not share information related to the amount and type of various marijuana and cannabinoid products that are going in and out of the dispensaries or the processing sites. So that's the new language that stipulates what may not be shared. I would assume what that would mean would be that information related to actual license holder and that type of information that's on the license address, person who owns, person responsible for, that would be primarily what would be able to be shared with law enforcement or cities and counties. That is the only real difference between this and some other amendments we looked at earlier, the Dash 17. So unless there's other questions, I'll probably just end it right there.
Okay, thank you. Discussion. Okay, if there's no discussion, the clerk will call the roll.
Senator Meyer?
Yes.
Representative Buckley?
Aye.
Representative Helm?
Aye.
Senator Cruz?
Aye.
Representative Olson?
Aye.
But Vice Chair Farioli?
Aye.
The Vice Chair Brzozowski?
Aye.
Vice Chair Wilson?
Aye.
Co-Chair Leininger?
Aye.
Co-Chair Burdick?
Aye. The Dash 19 amendment has been adopted. Our next order of business is the Dash 24 amendment, and Senator Brzozowski.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 24 amendments dated May 8, 2015.
Senator Brzozowski has moved the Dash 24 amendment to Senate Bill 844, and for discussion, we will start with Mr. Mayor.
The Dash 24 amendments are, again, they present a local option for counties and cities to opt out of allowing processing sites and dispensaries in the jurisdiction of the city or county. Section 67C, which is being amended into the Dash 6 amendments, lines 8 to 15 on page 1, would allow the governing body of a city or county to adopt an ordinance prohibiting the establishment of a dispensary or processing site, but that is subject to the fact that they must do so no later than 180 days after the effective date of the act. So again, there is a time limit on that particular process in this amendment. After that occurs, that section 67D, which is the bulk of the amendment, creates a petition process that is modeled after Measure 91, although there are some significant differences. As in Measure 91, this petition process would allow the electors of the city or county to gather signatures. It sets up filing deadlines. And if they meet all the requirements of the filing deadline and the amount of signatures required, the question will be placed on the ballot for consideration by the voters. I think the important thing to remember here is underneath Measure 91, that particular opt-out language is written in such a way that the city or county electors have to either declare the county to be, for lack of a better term, dry or not dry. So either licensees or no licensees will be allowed. We wrote this one so that the people may put on the ballot options. Should a dispensary be allowed or prohibited? Should processing sites be allowed or prohibited? Or both? Should both be allowed or prohibited? So that's a slight difference. And then the other difference between this and the opt-out provision in 91 is that this only requires a 4% signatory gathering as opposed to the 10% that is required under 91. Although I will draw to the committee's attention that constitutionally chartered counties are only subject to a 4% signature requirement as well. So that's a fix that we need in the 91 bill. Those are the two differences between this language and that language in 91. Oh, except that on page 3, sorry, we do have a grandfather clause. Again, so an ordinance prohibiting the operation of a medical marijuana dispensary or processing site under this section does not apply to a dispensary if the medical marijuana dispensary is registered under 475.314 before the date on which the ordinance takes effect, and the dispensary is in compliance with applicable ordinances of a city or county, or is a land use applicant whose land application is deemed complete by a city or county. So unlike the grandfather clause in the Dash 23s, this would also pull in time, place, manner ordinances for allowing a grandfather dispensary to exist. And we have the same language for processing sites. Again, the grandfather language for the existing processing sites and dispensaries in Section 67E and F is the same throughout all the different amendments that we're looking at today.
Okay. Discussion. Senator Prudansky.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Colleagues, I had the Dash 24s, the Dash 25s, and the Dash 26 drafted, knowing that I wanted to ensure that if a city or county was going to take this action, that they had a time-sensitive, limited time to do it and not let it go into perpetuity. My concern is I could see where a community could wait until right before a general election or just after a general election and then pass an ordinance that would, in fact, keep the individuals who would want to ask for some type of redress not to be able to do it for another 2 years. And so to me, 6 months should be plenty of time. That will set up a stage that for those who are going to do it, we'll have to have it completed no later than the end of this year. We know that by the time we get everything signed, and it will allow for citizens who disagree with what their cities or counties do to be able to have an opportunity to gather the signatures to have it placed onto the ballot in 2016. The grandfather clauses are very important to me, and that's one of the reasons I was willing to make this motion, as well as the 180 days. The 4% gathering, reducing it from 6, was also essential for me to be able to go here. The reality, if I had my way, I would go with the Dash 25s. The Dash 25s is what was in the Dash 23s, the mandatory referral. I don't have my way. So with that, understanding you can count votes, we saw what happened on Dash 23s. I know where we're heading, and that's why I was willing to go to the Dash 24s. The last thing I'd like to say, and this is for the cities and the counties who may think they are going to go this route, don't think this is going to keep your citizens from being able to get their medicine. As much as I agree with Representative Buckley, I will do everything in my power to ensure that those patients will have access to their medicine, even if it means delivery services into the county or into the cities.
Thank you. Thank you. Further discussion, Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Mark, I ask on the grandfathering language, I believe there might be a distinction of grandfathering language between the Dash 23s and the other versions in regard to the language on page 4, lines 5 through 8. It includes the phrase, in compliance with applicable ordinances of a city or county. And I don't believe that's in the 23s. And the reason I think that's significant is the concern over an ordinance that simply says we won't give a business license to a business that violates federal law. So this would, my concern here is this might put into jeopardy an existing dispensary that this measure, this the Dash 24s that we're on, would then give a city the ability, take my city of Talent, for instance, if they should so choose, they could say to their two existing dispensaries, sorry, you're not grandfathered in because we've decided that we're going to only renew your license if you're compliant with federal law. There's a question in there somewhere, sir.
Chairs Leininger, Chairs Burdick, I have thought through the legal analysis on the time, place, manner, and I know that it would pull that into the grandfather discussion as opposed to just the land use ordinances. So applicable ordinances would include time, place, manner restrictions. I would have to further think through your analysis, but I think that you are correct listening to it on the spot, that would be an appropriate reading of this provision.
Thank you. And I'm not a land use attorney, but I know one. Madam Chair, because of my concern over that and because I still do believe that a vote of the people is the best way to go if we are going to go down to a place where medicine is going to be somehow either allowed to have access or not allowed to access patients, I'll be a no on this measure, amendment.
Thank you. Further discussion?
Madam Chair.
Senator Pruszynski.
Based on the testimony and statements we've had, would the chairs be willing to do an interlocution of the current amendment to pick up that language that I think all of us would have intended to be there in the first place?
We negotiated that, and you were at the table when we negotiated that. It was never the intention to allow cities to get rid of existing dispensaries or processors based on the federal law. It was issues like, are they, did we accidentally cite one 50 feet from a school, that type of thing. And because we wanted to protect people who had made an investment in good faith and were in compliance with the regulations. So I will make a commitment here that as we move down, before any of this takes effect, that I will be very supportive of making that clear. Mr. Mayor.
Co-Chairs Burdick, Co-Chairs Leininger, again, Mark Mayer for the record. I do want to just reiterate that there is a provision in all these grandfather clauses that says that you're not going to be grandfathered if your registration is revoked. And currently, the way that Senate Bill 844 is written, there is an ability for consideration of violation of ordinances by OHA when they're looking at disciplinary action. And I would suspect that would not generally result in revocation of a registration. But if it's an issue of the time, place, manner, there is language in Senate Bill 844-6 amendments that addresses some of that concern.
It sounds like a problem with a solution. Chair Leininger.
Thank you. I really appreciate the careful thinking that went into this amendment and the effort to mitigate uncertainty and concern that the unilateral opt-out opportunity creates. There are two things that made me concerned about the Dash 24s. One is, while you noted that there is some similarity between Measure 91 and the Dash 24s, I think a crucial distinction is that here in the Dash 24s, unlike in the Dash 23s, a local city council or a county commission may choose, you know, through a vote of that body to opt out of dispensaries or processing sites in the body. And then the people, is my understanding, have the power that they have anyway in Oregon to gather signatures and petition to change the decision of their electeds, which, you know, given that they kind of just did that with Measure 91, to say let's enable there to be legal marijuana seems, well, both involve petitions and votes. It seems to me to be quite dissimilar from Measure 91, but I understand it also involves petition and vote. And then I have concern about Section 67F, the provision that Representative Buckley noted also, the idea that you can be grandfathered if you are registered, even if your jurisdiction opts out. If you're a registered facility, you are undertaking the work where you have a completed land use application, but that you're also in compliance with all rules. And this is just a sample. I think this language appears in a few different places. Compliance with applicable ordinances of a city or county, that strikes me as, especially if you're in an environment that might be hostile to the business that you're undertaking, seems like a kind of an unending opportunity to be scrutinized, because I would imagine that, you know, there's almost no business that is not out of compliance in some small way with some ordinance. And if the door is perpetually open for scrutiny about whether you are at every moment in compliance with every single ordinance, then that sounds to me like no safe harbor at all. And I think the intention is to have a safe harbor, but I don't think that that's the effect.
Yes, and I tend, on reflection reading that, I tend to agree. It needs to be narrowed down to get to our intent, which was very clear that it was to comply with the regulations like distance from a school, like time, use, and manner. So we will fix that. Further discussion, Representative Hill.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I thought I'd just point out what my home city, the city of Beaverton, has done and tell you a little about the dilemma I see here. Being in my district, I've got both a city and I've got a lot of unincorporated Washington County. To my mind, the city of Beaverton has hit the nail on the head and adopted an ordinance that's just right. It, one, initially adopted a moratorium to think about how to handle medical marijuana dispensaries in Beaverton. It took that time and came up with a thoughtful ordinance that allowed some dispensaries to locate with reasonable time, manner, and place regulations, and it looked ahead to adult recreational use, and the city council did a really smart thing in that they said, why should we go through this again once Measure 91 is fully adopted? We'll just make this ordinance apply to both so that everything's coordinated and everything works from the beginning. And I don't anticipate Beaverton will move away from that. I think that they've got their plan, and it's a good one, and they'll go forward. The thing that I have a problem with the Dash 24s is it sets up Washington County in the unincorporated areas to place an additional uphill burden on the folks that are right next door to Beaverton and essentially share the community, placing them in a position if the county commission were to decide to adopt an ordinance prohibiting dispensaries and processing facilities, to require those very same folks that just got done approving adult recreational use to go through a petition gathering exercise, which is another uphill battle for them, to vote again to say yes. That does not make sense for my people. And it may make sense for some of the other counties in the state where the vote was more lopsided against Measure 91. But we need something that works for all counties, not just one set. This one doesn't work for my county, and I can't support it.
Further discussion, Representative Buckley.
Madam Co-Chair, I'm hoping the committee might entertain a motion. I know this has been stressful all the way through, but if we could, I'd like to make a motion to table this vote until Wednesday, so that some language might be changed in this in a proposed amendment that would address this issue about ordinances. I do respect and appreciate the fact that the chair said that you would take this seriously, but if the issue could stay within the committee by tabling this to Wednesday, I think there might be an ability to address this language and even address some time to maybe come up, brainstorm with an idea that might work for Representative Helms County as well as other counties in the state. So that is the motion I'd like to make, Madam Chair.
Representative Buckley has moved to table the motion. I can't remember. Do we have debate on this motion?
Madam Co-Chair, as members of the committee, the motion to lay on the table is not debatable, and a vote required is a majority vote. Okay. This motion is also not amendable.
Okay. Will the clerk
approve? Clarification.
Clarification, Senator Byer.
So this is to a time certain to Wednesday?
That's correct, Senator. So I would assume that's permissible to target the date.
Yeah, it's not debatable, so the clerk will call the roll.
Senator Byer?
No.
Representative Buckley?
Aye.
Representative Helm?
Aye.
Senator Cruz?
No.
Representative Olson?
No.
Co-Vice Chair Ferrioli?
No.
Co-Vice Chair Panossi?
Aye.
Vice Chair Wilson?
No.
Co-Chair
Leininger?
Aye.
Co-Chair
Burdick? No. The motion has failed. So that brings back the -24 amendment. Is there further discussion? Okay. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Senator Byer?
Aye.
Representative Buckley?
No.
Representative Helm?
No.
Senator Cruz?
Aye.
Representative Olson?
Yes.
Co-Vice Chair Ferrioli?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Pazanti?
Aye.
Chair Wilson? Aye. Co-Chair Leininger?
No.
Co-Chair Burdick?
Aye. The motion has failed. So, committee, we do not appear to have a bill that can gather the required number of votes. So at this time,
Madam Chair,
Senator Ferrioli,
are we still in work session?
We are still in work session.
If I were to change my vote to no, then I would be on the prevailing side. And if I were to do that, I would ask this committee to consider how far we've come. The instances where I think Senator Pozanski said, you don't get everything you want. And I understand that feeling. And I sympathize with it. I empathize with that. But I would rather this group go together as far as it can go and actually complete its work. And I was fearful that if this motion fails and the committee continues in the trajectory that I think it's going, it's possible the committee's last vote as a group was the one we just took. So the question that I would posit is, if I changed my vote to no and ask for immediate reconsideration and a 5-minute recess, is that something that might affect the outcome and the future of this committee as a group?
Can we have a discussion on that?
Yes, we can, but I want to ask my co-chair, first of all, what do you consider of that?
Well, I appreciate that, and I appreciate the suggestion. I think it would be appropriate to take a recess right now for a few minutes for people to talk about where we are before we move forward on that, if that's possible.
Okay. We are in recess for 10 minutes. The Joint Committee on Implementation of Measure 91, the -24 amendment has failed, which means that we don't have a bill that we could pass out with any hope of passage. So with that, I'll just let people know that we'll be having a discussion with leadership to find out next steps. This is a great committee. We have worked so well together on so many issues. We are almost there, but we have a legitimate impasse here with good people on both sides. And so while that's regrettable, it's not surprising on an issue this complicated. Senator Prezanski.
Madam Chair, if I could just follow up with what you said, just to make certain people who aren't part of our process understand, not only are we looking to be able to pass something out of this committee, but we also have chambers that they have to pass out of, and that's what I think you were referring to.
Thank you for clearing that up, Senator Prezanski. Yes, once it gets out of this committee, it has to have the votes to pass on both chambers. And we're not quite there with the bill as it stands. And so at this time, we will adjourn the committee. So we are now adjourned. The committee.